Today we're going to be talking about 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people, who are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray, and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. That's right above me. So I need to tell you, in 1976, I was saved. That's 47 years ago. And when I was saved, it was at a little Baptist church. And every time I walked into that church, there was this sign on the wall, a big sign, this beautifully carved wood, and it had this verse on it. And that verse has stuck with me all these years, because every time I walked into that church, and I was there every minute the door was open, that verse was there. And so that has really made an impact on my life. Now, I want to tell you that ever since we started coming to this church, and I think it's been about 10 years, I have seen that whiteboard, this whiteboard out there, I have wanted to put this sign up there because that is so meaningful to me and it's meant so much that I want to share that with you and with the other people in this church. And last Sunday, on the way to church, I thought, I'm not kidding, well, before church, I had asked permission, I got permission from the people I needed to be able to do something about this verse, do what I wanted with this whiteboard. And I had put that off for a few weeks, but last Sunday, just before church, I had figured out, okay, I'll just make a poster. That's what I can do. I'm not going to make this wonderful quilt that I wanted to do and all these things, just a poster. So last Sunday, just before church, I ordered a poster. I created this. I made that. And I ordered that. I come to church. And on my way to church, I'm thinking, wouldn't that be strange if Lee somehow failed to tell us that it's our turn to speak. And we wouldn't know that it was our turn to speak. And because he always is the only way we know. And then I looked at the calendar and found out that it's our turn to speak this week. So I just thought that was really funny. And I think, you know, God's timing is so incredibly amazing. And since I have wanted this for so long, and I just had done it, and then it's our turn to speak that I didn't know. It's like, okay, Lord, I get it. It's dedication. We're going to dedicate this verse to the church, to the congregation, whatever. And I just really felt that was the call. So I had told Tomo that it was actually his turn to speak, so I'm sorry if you want him, you got me. But he was off in Germany and flying up in the air and gone. So I said, don't worry, Tomo, I got you covered. Actually, I think it's God that has Tomo covered. So I want to say that. Another thing about his amazing timing, God's incredible timing, is I didn't talk to anybody on the music team this time. I gave him a break because usually I hassle him, you know. And this time, I don't know if you remember, but one of the songs we sang was Humility, right? We sang it.
You asked him.
No, I did not ask. And that's the first part here in this verse. So let's move on to the verse. I want to start with the word if. That's what the verse starts with, if. There's over 1,500 times that if comes in the Old Testament. So this is a conditional phrase. If my people. Okay, then. And then we go on further and it's then. Then he will. So God will do something, but if comes first. Who is God speaking to in this verse? If my people who are called by my name. He's speaking to you and to me, my people. He's not speaking to the world out there. He's speaking to you and to me. If my people who are called by my name. There's four conditions that we have to meet. When we meet them, I'll go to the second half of the verse there. These conditions we need to meet, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. okay, this is what God will do. God will always keep his promise. But we have to do our part. What is our part? There's four things we need to do. Humble themselves, pray, seek my face, and turn from our wicked ways. So today we're going to go through each one of those four things that we need to do. First of all, we're going to look at it in Jesus' life. Then we're going to look at what he commands us to do regarding that, each of those four things. Then I'm going to ask you at your tables with your people to pray. You're going to take a few minutes praying that which Jesus is telling us to do. I think it's appropriate in church to do what we're commanded to do right here, right now. And then the fourth thing that we're going to do is we're going to have an application. Fun, different things, different ways of actually applying what the command is, what each of these four commands. And thank goodness for Sage. I just love Sage because she's such a great girl. And her job is, if you guys will, it'd be so wonderful if you would talk and give some feedback during the message today on the pray, humble, seek God's face, and turn from wicked ways. And then Sage is going to write what you say on the board. I know we're going to have to hurry because I know it's going to go long if I don't be careful. So here we go. First part, humble or humility. I'm going to give you the definition, basically Webster's 1828 dictionary. The definition of humility is a lack of pride or self-assertion, a sense of one's insignificance or unworthiness. By the way, what I handed out, you'll see in a minute why I handed those out to you. As seen in Jesus' life. Okay, Sage, are you ready? And everybody, can somebody give an example of Jesus praying in the Bible that Sage could write on the board? Don't all volunteer at once. Just an example of Jesus praying. When did he pray? In the garden, okay? In the garden, when at the crucifixion, right? Is that what you're talking about, Ron? Yeah, great.
He prayed early in the morning.
He prayed early. Okay. Got to write fast. Okay, garden. Okay, and that's great. He prayed early in the morning. And when he was praying early in the morning, he liked to get away from everybody else, didn't he? So he sought the solitude when he prayed. That's a great example. Want one more? Anybody have one more? Callie. Oops, sorry, Callie.
Okay, so he prayed at the Last Supper.
Thanksgiving. Thank you very much. Now, can you give examples from the Bible where Jesus is instructing us to pray? Can you think of examples there?
Lord's Prayer.
Lord's Prayer. Great one. You know what? I kind of skipped ahead. I wasn't supposed to talk about prayer yet. I was supposed to talk about humility. Sorry about that. So anyhow, you did the Lord's Prayer, and I asked Betty if she would say read the Lord's Prayer to us from Matthew 6:9-13.
Pray like this, Jesus said. Our Father in heaven, may your name be kept holy. May your kingdom come soon. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today the food we need and forgive us our sins as we have forgiven those who sin against us. And don't let us yield to temptation, but rescue us from the evil one. The next verse is, if you forgive those who sin against you, your heavenly Father will forgive you.
Thank you, Fanny. Thank you. So we've gone through prayer. We skipped ahead. Sorry about that. At any rate, now I want you at your table, just with who's there at your table, just take a couple minutes and pray. Pray this. Pray of what Jesus has told us to pray, or pray what, I guess we can't pray in the garden. Or I guess we have a hard time praying those, huh? But you could take the Lord's Prayer and just pray with your people there for a couple minutes together, please. Now, if you look on the paper that you've got in front of you, go to the second part about prayer, and you'll see some application activities. I thought it was great, Jeff, what you shared about the meteors, watching it. That was one of the activities that I think would be a great thing to do. And honestly, you know, I went to Bible school, and my favorite teacher gave me the best assignment I ever had. And what it was to go lay out under the stars for 15 minutes and meditate on the greatness of God. And it sounds like you're doing that, and I think that you're going to be doing it. It's God's perfect timing. What do you think, huh? That's His timing. So that's one thing. Another idea that came up is creating a prayer wall in your house where your family and friends can add their prayers, turning it into a community prayer experience. A third idea, I like this too, is prayerful cooking. Prepare meals with intention, praying over each ingredient, and then offering the final dish as a form of worship. And I want you to look at those three options of actual application and circle on your piece of paper which one you think you would like to do. Okay. What you'd like to do in the coming week. Just one. You can only choose one. Okay, now we're going to move on to the next one, which is humility. And I might as well give the definition of prayer for humility, since I already did humility. The definition for prayer, according to Webster, is direct communication with God, asking with humility and earnestness. Okay, let's see. What can we see in Jesus' life where He demonstrated humility? Any suggestions? Any ideas? Did you get it? Oh, washing the feet. That's what you said? Yes, 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 yes. That was ultimate humility, wasn't it? That was the job of a servant to do. And Jesus humbled Himself to do that. Great. I love that one.
What?
That's huge. Yeah, He died on the cross for us. Humble. Excellent. Beautiful. And one more.
Can you consider Him being baptized by John?
Oh, I like that. Okay, being baptized by John, because certainly he was God Himself, but He humbled Himself. Yes, so the Christian, we were talking about this with Lee the other day, how the Christian view of leadership is from the bottom up, right? That we're not telling people how to do things and over them, but just Jesus, He came from the bottom up, and that is humility. That's God's way. Can you think of examples where Jesus instructs us to be humble? A little more tricky.
Love your fellow man.
What?
Love your fellow man as yourself.
That's probably pretty good, because we kind of don't always want to do that, huh? Yeah. So then, can you write love?
How do you spell John?
John, J-O-H-N. Oh, it's right down there. Yes, Pete. The kind of people that He invited were the tax collectors and the sinners and the low-down people. And, you know, I need to tell you that while I was preparing for this and reading about humility, honestly, Doug and Karen came to mind so much as such examples of humility, because that is what you have done. I mean, your life is so committed to helping those underdogs of society. And I think that's really, really beautiful, what you do. And that is just what Jesus tells us to do. Okay, one more. Can we come up with one more example of humility from the Bible?
Well, I'm kind of thinking, you know, where Joseph had his dreams and he told his brothers, and, you know, it kind of wasn't, it didn't go come across humble. Here's our innocent Savior, and evidently, that to his siblings as he was growing up.
like that. Yeah. So he accepted his role as like a brother when he was growing up. That's
his
nice.
His placement was just average. You know, his time had not come.
Yeah.
He waited on the Lord, which is part of humbling.
Okay, so waiting on. Waiting. That's good enough. That'll be good. Another one that I'll just bring up one more that I was thinking, and that is, blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Okay, now, again, we're going to pray. We're going to pray for humility from the things we've talked about and just ask God for us to be humble and how he would have us be more humble. So take another couple minutes to pray to be humble. Okay, need to be finishing up. People, I need to tell you, it is so beautiful standing up here and seeing people praying. I can only imagine how God must see and must think when he sees everybody praying here. It's beautiful. Let me give you some application for prayer. First one is going to be listening without judgment. Put away distractions such as phones and focus completely on the speaker. Not offering unsolicited advice, showing that you value their thoughts and feelings. For some of us, that can be a very difficult thing to do. Another application would be to publicly associate with the lowly. Be intentional about building relationships with those who might be marginalized or stigmatized. You guys, listen. Karen, listen. I'm defining you guys. Listen. Listen. This is important. This is so totally you. I'm going to start over. I don't want you to miss it. Okay. Be intentional about building relationships with those who might be marginalized or stigmatized, such as prisoners or those struggling with addiction. Yeah, you could. Yeah. Well, anyhow. Okay. Assemble and distribute care packages, or just sit and talk with someone. A third way of showing humility would be humble leadership. Lead with empathy and servant-heartedness, seeking to empower rather than control others. Celebrate the achievements of others and share your vulnerabilities and struggles, creating an environment where others feel comfortable doing the same. You guys know what to do. You got to circle one of them that you want to try this next week. Let's go back to our verse. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, and seek my face. Let's look into seeking God's face. To seek God's face is to earnestly pursue a personal and intimate relationship with God, to desire his presence, and seek his will and his character. What examples can you think of in the Bible of Jesus seeking God's face? That's great. On the cross, sure, sure. He wanted God's, yes, absolutely. Another one, yes?
The temptation.
Okay, so when he was tempted? Right after he was baptized and he was tempted. Yeah. And he was seeking God's face, and that was really hard to do right then, wasn't it? But he did it. Can we come up with one more?
I'm not sure if this, but when he prayed in the garden, he said, not my will, but yours.
Yeah. Not my will, but yours be done. Yeah, Kenny, you're the one I was looking for. I somehow just didn't see you when I was talking about the prisoners. You just did disappear from my vision about the seeking the prisoners. That's totally you. Yeah, you've done that. Okay. So we've got examples of Jesus seeking God's face? How about examples of Jesus instructing us to seek God? I'm sorry?
You got the best one in my opinion in your notes here. It says, seek you first his kingdom and his righteousness.
That's
Matthew 6:33.
Seek God's kingdom first. Okay, seek God's kingdom first. How about another one?
Jesus said, come to me, all who are weak and heavy laden.
I like that. And then come to me, all who are weak and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Beautiful. How about one more?
He was instructing believers throughout the whole New Testament.
Yeah. Let's get specific.
Parables.
The parables. Okay, the parables. I think it's on here, is Mark 8:34, to deny ourselves. Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. Jesus calls for a commitment that prioritizes God above all else. Okay, it's time for us to pray again. Let's take a few minutes and pray to seek God's face, to just really, from the depth of our being, we won't be able to do that in 2 minutes. But in your table, let's just ask for God that we will be able to seek his face, and the people at your table also will desire to seek God's face. So take a minute to do that, please. I'm going to move on to application. Ways, practical ways to seek God's face. Knowing that there's so many artistic people in this group, I thought artistic expression is a great way for some of you to seek God's face. Painting, writing poetry, writing music, engaging in other artistic endeavors with a spiritual focus can be a unique way to communicate with God. That's, again, there's Doug. That's what Doug does. Okay? Culinary creativity. Cooking meals inspired by biblical stories or themes, connecting culinary arts with spiritual reflection. And a third way, I like this one, photography walks, capturing images that reflect God's beauty and creativity in the world around you. Please circle one that looks interesting to you. Now, I'm going to have to back up because I forgot a couple things, and I want to be sure I don't leave it out. Going back to prayer, a couple things I wanted to say. I was talking with Betty earlier this week, and she brought up something that I thought was really, really great and a good thing for us to think about when we pray. She's reading a book by Joyce Myers, and This is a quote from the book. After praying, make the decision to keep your conversation in agreement with your prayers, regardless of the circumstances. When your faith, your thoughts, and your words all agree with God's promises, it's just a matter of time until you see positive change. That's something that is good for us to remember, because it's so easy for us to pray one thing and then 5 minutes later we're saying just the opposite with our mouth. So we've got to try to get our words and our prayer in line. Another thing I wanted to bring up about prayer that I really liked was where Jesus says, Jesus is predicting Peter's denial, because Satan had asked for Peter. And this is in Luke 22. And Jesus says, but I have prayed for you, Simon, that your faith may not fall. So he was interceding for Peter's faith. And that is a really neat thing to see, I thought, you know, that we can intercede and do that spiritual warfare in prayer. Okay, got that covered. Now let's move on to the last part. Turn from our wicked ways. Definition: complete reversal from sinful practices to follow righteousness. You can't get examples of Jesus, right? Because he didn't ever sin. So we can't do that. But I have thought that David is such a perfect example of what to do when we sin. Because, you know, the Bible tells us that David was a man after God's own heart. Jesus couldn't sin. So it seems to me that looking at David's life is a really good example of what to do when we sin. So I'm going to ask, can you come up with a couple of examples from David's life of sin and then how he turned from his wicked ways? Come on, you know. Psalm 51. Yeah, that's huge. And then what did David do after he did that? What did he do?
After he was made aware by the prophet that he repented.
He what?
He repented.
He repented big time, didn't he? He was really, really sorry for what he had done. Yeah. And in his prayer, I have sinned against you, God. I've sinned against you. I am so, so broken for having done that. I'm so sorry. And because he had that complete confession and repentance, he's in the hall of faith. He's a man after God's own heart. That's good. So he didn't blame somebody else, like the old Adam and Eve thing. He knew that it was his response. He took responsibility for his sin. That's great. Thank you for bringing that out. And then he sought God's mercy. Now let's come up with a few examples of Jesus instructing us to repent.
At least they repented from stoning the woman.
And then he says, the first who without sin cast the first stone.
Yeah.
That's great. Yeah. Okay. So how would you say that? Just write the adulteress.
Yeah.
That's good. Go and sin no more. Maybe say, go and sin no more. Oh, you can finish writing adulteress. Isn't her writing beautiful? I love her writing. Can you think of another time that Jesus instructs us to repent, to turn from our wicked ways? Okay. I'll give you a couple. Do you have something too?
Well, I was thinking in the sense that, you know, after Peter denied Jesus, Jesus talked to Peter about who he had loved more, you know. And in a sense, he was giving Peter an opportunity to repent, almost to himself as much as, you know, to not blame himself. I don't know. I mean, I see a real change of heart in Peter's, and I think it was due to repentance through that last, when the fish, after he was resurrected, Jesus came back, had fire built, Peter jumps out of the water. It is a stretch in my repentance here.
I don't remember that.
Peter had real guilt that he didn't meet Jesus.
Ah, and then Jesus said, and bring Peter too. Is that what you're talking about?
Through that, there's a repentance, a change of how you're thinking. In Peter's mind, I think he had a change.
Yeah.
In the direction of his thinking.
Great. Thank you. So just write Peter. Just Peter. That's good. Peter after the resurrection. Kim, what did you...
Who was the one... Was it Paul? The one with the eyes that got closed?
Yes.
On the way to the...
Yeah. I mean, he repented, but he's still...
Yeah. Still blind.
He's still blind for a while, but I mean, he repented. And then also, I don't know if this is the question, is what about Judah? Did he repent at the end after he did all that?
Oftentimes that's considered a real stretch.
That's what I'm wondering.
He killed himself. That's not a good way.
Okay, that's not a good way to do it. I was just wondering if he repented before he did that.
Jesus said he did not, even before he did what he did.
Okay.
Already knew.
Kelly?
What about the Matthew 10:38? Whoever doesn't take up his cross and follow me doesn't deserve to be my disciple.
Cool. Yeah, that's a good one. Yeah. You can check Matthew 10:38. So she gave us the reference of it. So we need to take up our cross. Thank you. I think repentance, and I'm looking at the clock. I don't want to hold you too long. So repentance, that's maybe something we shouldn't do at the table. You might not feel comfortable. So we're just going to skip over praying on that one. I don't want to embarrass anybody. Yeah. Okay, well, Jerry's relieved.
Note on what you were talking about, taking up the cross and that sort of thing. I think that's sort of a follow-up step to repenting is taking up your cross and facing the consequences of your sin through faith in Jesus Christ. So you wipe it out. You start living your trust in Jesus, that he will help you deal with the consequences, and that's taking out the cross. You know what I mean?
Absolutely, and that's
a domino effect.
Good point. Good way of saying it. Yeah, and we will have consequences from our sin. That's just going to happen. And also, though, it gives us it mellows us out, and it makes us more that beautiful jewel that we are in the crown. So it's okay, yet it's always hard. But that's what we gain from it. We gain more Christ-likeness. And I don't know why, but all of a sudden I'm thinking of this lady that we used to know. But we still know her, but don't talk with her anymore. She was just such a neat lady. She was this motorcycle mama. I mean, she loved the sound of a Harley. She was totally that kind of girl, okay? But she loved the Lord, and she thought that the only way to love the Lord is to be like a Mennonite. So she got in the Mennonite world and all, and she did her best to fit in. But you know what? She never fit in. And you know what? None of those Mennonites could ever reach those motorcycle people that she could. And finally, she did get out of that group and much more released. You know, and so that's the point I'm trying to make, that whatever our sin is, we've been forgiven, but it gives us the unique people that we can reach that the others of us can't reach. And that's the beauty of God. Empathy? Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, because they understand, absolutely. Let's get to some application here. Creative confession. writing or painting your confessions and then destroying them as a symbol of God's forgiveness. Social media fast. Taking regular breaks from social media to minimize temptations related to comparison, envy, or other potential pitfalls. And I don't mean to embarrass you, but I'm going to tell you that last week Sage wasn't feeling well, and her mom put her on a social media fast. Not to keep you away from temptation, but to help her body heal. Do you have any testimony to say about it?
I feel better.
There we go. She feels better. See, it works. There's testimony right there. Thank you, Sage. Okay. And the last one, I think this is a great idea. Our friends just left on Thursday to Africa, to South Africa, following the Lord, not knowing what they're doing, just trusting that God's going to lead them. And I need to do this. I haven't done it yet, but I want to set a prayer alarm reminder. Setting alarms on our clock, on our phone, throughout the day to pause and pray, particularly in moments of known temptation. If you have those moments, that's a great idea. If I just want to do that to remind myself, because during the day I think so much about whatever my project is ahead of me that I don't really think about God so much, and I don't want to be that way. But if I set my alarm on my phone, I know that then, oh yeah, I need to pray. I need to remember to pray. So I like that one. So anyhow, go ahead. Circle which one looks most interesting to you for this week. Hey, not everybody's doing it. I'm trying to be a teacher. Oh, dear. What am I going to do? At least you're. I don't have a discipline problem here, at least. Thankful for that. Just an obedience problem.
These are recommendations.
Yeah, you don't have to. You could write in your own. But now, before you fold your paper up and put it in your Bible, I want you to go back and look at the ones that you circled. Hopefully you did. And choose one that you really do want to try to make an effort to do this week. Just one of them that you really want to be committed to and say, hey, I want to do this because I am God's people. I am one of God's people. And I need to humble myself and pray and seek God's face and turn from my wicked ways. So we can do one thing. Sage, that's good. Thank you. You're good. You know, Japanese have a word that I really like. It's called kaizen. And kaizen is like 1 degree improvement every day, or you just a little bit of improvement. You don't have to do a full 90-degree, 180-degree turn, but just little improvement. And that's why I think that whatever you have circled and chosen to do next week, it's not going to be all four of them, but one thing, and that's like a kaizen. And God, I have seen that guys over and over and over in my life. If I do just the least little bit, God is going to come in there and just swoop in. It's amazing how, I'm sure that we all have that kind of testimony. Yeah. 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 Okay, would anybody be willing to share one thing that they want to try to do this week? Of those applications. Okay, good, Doug. Tomo? More prayer? With the alarm on your phone? That's good, but you're going to try to remember to pray. That's good. We'll go for that. That's great. Good, Pete. Good. Anybody else? Toma? I think that's a very appropriate one for you, too. That's good. Thank you. So this poster is going to be up now in place of this whiteboard for a little bit, and I just really pray that this verse can mean a lot to you as it has to me through all these years, especially in the state of our nation and where we're at in history. I'm going to finish with a little saying that I came up with. In humble stance, through prayer we tread, God's face we seek, His touch we spread. From wicked paths we turn our gaze, His healing touch our lands amaze. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, will forgive their sins and heal their land. So Lord, thank you for this opportunity. Thank you for who you are. Thank you for your promises to us, Lord. And I pray that we would do that little kaizen, that just a little step, Father, just one little bit, Lord, because this verse, you are speaking to us, your children, your people. And Lord, let us take up your call and do what you have commanded us to do if our nation is to turn around. Thank you, Jesus. We're just so grateful that you have, like Tomo was saying, the instruction book. It's there. And Lord, let us be faithful in just a little steps. That's all you ask of us. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name we pray.